All right, welcome to the free stretch here on JoeBucksFan.com. I am Bobby Fenton. It is a scheduled release edition of the show here in the middle of the month of May. Thanks for joining us. It's an exciting day. You know, it's always exciting when the schedule comes out, and particularly in a year like this, coming off a Super Bowl win, where you know you're going to get the goodies. It's like coming downstairs Christmas morning, not having to wonder if it's going to be the goods down there. You know, as the Super Bowl champion, especially with someone like Tom Brady at quarterback, you're going to be on the maximum for the primetime games. You know you're going to have a lot of maybe some 4 o'clock starts that would have been 1 o'clock starts in normal years. And it's all there in this schedule. So we are going to talk about it today after the official release last night. Not only that, but the Buccaneers have their rookie minicamp going this weekend. So that'll be the first time any Bucs players have appeared on the field in an official setting since winning the Super Bowl back in February. So it's great to have you guys on here. And thanks to Joe Bucks Fan, of course, for hosting this show as they always do. Thanks also to our friends at Bill Curry Ford, where like they always do, they've got the nationwide unlimited lifetime warranty. Any car you buy over there, pre-owned, new, used, whatever, is covered under this. You have any problems with the engine, you can take it back in years down the road even, and you're covered under their warranty if you bought the car from Bill Curry Ford. So what you can do is go to the website, BillCurryFord.com. It's C-U-R-R-I-E, BillCurryFord.com. Or go in person a mile north of Raymond James Stadium on Dale Mabry. They're just north of Hillsboro. They're on the east side of the road. Either way, massive inventory. And, you know, obviously it's a Ford dealership, but they've got all kinds because of people trade-ins and things like that. Cars, trucks, vans, SUVs, you name it. And you get that warranty with any of it. You also get 10 years of roadside assistance. You get the first year your service is taken care of, oil changes and all that. And if you don't even want to go out of your house or leave your office or wherever, like I said, go to the website, pick out a car you just want to test drive, let alone buy. They will deliver it to your home or office, and you can do all that at your place. And if you end up making the purchase, they'll deliver it right back to you. You never have to leave your home. And I believe now they're also doing service at home. So if you've already bought a car from Bill Curry Ford and you don't want to leave home with COVID and all that, they'll even do that too. They will bring have guys come over and do your oil change at the house or something like that, whatever it needs. So they've got you covered. Check them out, BillCurryFord.com, or see them a mile north of Raymond James Stadium on Dale Mabry Highway. So looking at the schedule, and we got some leaks coming in, you know, here and there. And there's always those rumors. Every year there's rumors. And you don't know what to make of them because every once in a while the rumors are absolutely true and the exact thing somebody reports. There's always somebody on Twitter who tweets, oh, Bucks versus so-and-so will be this night at 8 p.m., whatever. And it's like, whoa, that actually was true. And then there are so many more other ones that you hear that are not true. So the big rumors going around out there in the weeks leading up to the schedule release this year was, one, it's going to be Bills versus Bucks on Thursday night to open it up for the defending Super Bowl champion at home. That didn't end up happening. And the other big rumor was Thanksgiving night, Bucks at Foxborough. It's going to be that third Thanksgiving Day game they're doing now in primetime after the Lions play early and the Cowboys play in the afternoon. And that didn't end up happening either. But what we did get instead, just as good, if not even better. So looking up and down the thing, of course, the Cowboys made a lot of sense for the first game because that's a big national TV draw, even though they're coming off a 6-10 season. To see them in that first slot wasn't a surprise. So the Bucs, for the first time, because they didn't do this in the year that they hosted the year that they won the Super Bowl before, and then the subsequent year was 2003, they made the Bucs go on the road in Week 1 on Monday Night Football and open up the Eagles' new stadium, which they did with a win. But this will be the first time the Bucs have opened the entire NFL season as the defending Super Bowl champion, as has become tradition. It'll be the Cowboys on Thursday, September 9th. And folks, I should have done the math before I started the microphone. I'm looking at my calendar right now because I'm recording this on Thursday. So what do we got? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12... 13, 14, 15, 16, 17 weeks from right now. It'll be game day morning to open the season, 17 weeks from right now. That ain't that much. I mean, it's basically one regular season away. Now it's 18 weeks from starting the new regular season. But that'll be Thursday night. So, what does that mean? Well, one, you're playing a Thursday night game, but you're not on short rest because it's the first game. And two, now you got extra rest for the second game. So this is where the important stuff lies in the schedule, okay? You know, they didn't used to think about this. Nobody used to talk much about this. But it's been proven now, like they've been able to show measurable factors of this in win probabilities. Rest differential. When two teams play, is one team coming off more days rest than the other? And we see this more now with Thursday games. And, you know, obviously there's Monday night games. There's always been those. But do you have teams? Is one team coming off a bye week? Is one team coming off playing last Thursday? And the other team played on Sunday. They got a few more days rest. That matters. And the NFL didn't used to pay any attention to it because no one really realized it. People started tracking it. They realized it made a difference. And now the NFL has also taken note, and they've done a very good job of making that a lot more fair, and they don't have some of the imbalances in modern-day schedules that you used to see. So the Bucs actually came out pretty okay in this. This year, the Buccaneers play four games where they have the rest advantage, which means they'll be playing on more rest than the opponent. They only play two games where the opponent has more rest than them. So that is in their favor, obviously, but it's not a huge... I mean, there have been some years where, not through anybody intentionally doing it, but a team would have a huge disadvantage where they played, like, you know, five or six games where they had a rest differential and maybe only one where they were the team with more rest. And that's an imbalance that does matter. It is kind of unfair. And obviously, you can't make this all perfect, but that week one game being on Thursday, now week two, Bucks host Atlanta. Well, Atlanta plays on Sunday in week one, and so the Bucks have a plus 3 day rest differential there. That will help, okay? That does matter. And so looking at the entire schedule, like I said, the four times where they have a rest advantage, week two against Atlanta, the Bucks play on the previous Thursday, where Atlanta plays on the previous Sunday. October 24th, week seven against Chicago, the Bucs play Philadelphia on Thursday night the week before, where Chicago plays on Sunday. So again, Bucs have a long week there after a short week, but Philly will be on a short week too. And then in week eight, when the Bucs play the Saints, which is on Halloween actually, we'll talk about that in a few minutes, but that's at New Orleans, the Bucs will have a day extra rest because the Saints play on Monday Night Football the week before, where the Bucs play on Sunday. Oh, and then the Buffalo game, which is week 14, same thing. Buffalo will be coming off a Monday night game there. The Bucs only play two games where the opposing team is coming off a bye, and one of those against Washington on November 14th, the Bucs also have a bye the week before. So the only time they have a pronounced rest differential will be week 11, November 22nd, Monday Night Football in Tampa at Raymond James. The Bucs host the Giants. The Giants will be coming off their bye, but the Bucs at least will be playing on Monday night, so they'll have an extra day, an eighth day, you know, between games instead of the usual seven. But that's the one game where it's like, okay, the Giants have a rest differential there. They are coming off a bye week. And then there's only one other one, and that's against Indy week 12 after that Giants game, because the Bucs will be coming off Monday Night Football against the Giants. Indy plays on Sunday, so Indy will have a one-day rest differential there. So pretty good. Like, nothing crazy there. The Bucs don't have anything crazy with travel miles. They do have a trip out west to see the Rams. And other than that, I think their longest road trip is probably New England, because, I mean, it's still on the East Coast, but it's way up there. They don't have really any cold weather games. They don't go north of the Mason-Dixon line outdoors, really, after the Philly game, October 14th, except for Week 17, which is now the second-to-last game of the year, not the first. And they'll play at the Jets on January 2nd at 1 o'clock. And obviously, we have no idea. So here's the thing you got to get used to now. You know, we don't have any idea what these teams will be like this year. So there's all kinds of different ways to look at strength of schedule. You can look at just the raw cumulative record of your opponents the year before. And you'll see that one probably the most commonly cited one. As in, oh, they've got the so-and-so, the fourth easiest schedule because their opponent winning percentage from 2020 was, you know, 465. That's not really a great way to look at it, because we know how much teams fluctuate from year to year, including last year's Bucks, who went from 7-9 to 11-5 in Super Bowl champions. What is probably a little bit better way, and Warren Sharp does this, if you follow him on Twitter, he's a good football numbers guy, is use it by Vegas projected win totals. Not that those are accurate either necessarily, but that's a better kind of idea of what teams will be like this coming year. And if you just want to go off of those based on Vegas over-under win total projections for 2021, the Bucks actually have the fifth easiest schedule. It's pretty close to where they are if you go by winning percentage next year in that case. Some of them fluctuate more. The Bucks in general don't have too tough of a schedule, and we knew that beforehand because we knew the opponents beforehand. Last night was just the release of the actual, the dates and times and all that stuff. But you know, you look at that Dallas game to open off in primetime. Home team since they started doing that, which again was the year after the Bucks won the Super Bowl, or the season after somebody else won it. Home teams are 15-3 in those 18 Thursday night games to start the year, and that includes 11-3-4 against the spread. So it's a spot you expect to do well. Obviously, Dallas is coming in not off a great season. They do have a new defensive coordinator in Dan Quinn. I believe their first, was it five? All five of their first five draft picks were defensive players. That could be good or bad as far as who the players are, but what it does mean is I don't think those guys will be in the same place in week one that they will be later in the year, even if they do end up being really good. So maybe it helps a little bit to catch those guys. First game with a new coordinator, first game with not lots of new defensive players, you know, probably helps. That's a game the Bucks should win. I think they've already put up a Vegas line of like Bucks -6.5. I'm not going to go through the whole schedule, which some people like to do, and be like, well, that's a win, that's a loss. I mean, we have no idea. And quite honestly, even a record prediction in general, I'm seeing a lot of cockiness. And this is what I'm going to do over the summer and even through the early parts of the season next season. I'm seeing a lot of cockiness. I'm seeing everybody talking about repeat. I'm seeing everybody talking about, you know, I guess now with 17 games, people are talking about, you know, 14-3, 15-2. I even saw a couple of people, like seriously, not even ironically, throw out like the undefeated talk. Like, can Brady go after the one thing that he hasn't done in his career, the one thing he came so close to before in 2007 and he missed out on it, and now here's his chance again? No, I don't want to hear any. Are you kidding me? Remember the 2002 Bucks who won the Super Bowl and had, to this day, it was one of the best defenses in the history of the NFL, and everybody came back? And I remember thinking, oh man, like, I thought we were going to be what the Patriots ended up being. Like, we might win like three or four of these, man. Like, nobody can stop these guys. Now that we got Gruden and we can score a few points to go with this defense, who's going to beat the Bucks now? 7-9 in 2003. Thank you very much. And they weren't heard from again until they won the division in 05, and they won it again in 07, lost in the wild card round both times at home, and never won another playoff game until this past year. All right? So you have no idea. Like, don't, I mean, yes, they do return 22 people from a Super Bowl champion, which nobody in the modern era has done. Yes, they do have Tom Brady, as well as a host of other weapons. Yes, it's great. I mean, the division that they're in doesn't look like murderer's row right now. Saints have lost Drew Brees, all that stuff. I don't care. Like, it's the Jets game on January 7th, I don't know who's going to win that. Like, you can't just pencil in wins. This isn't college football, where like Florida's playing, you know, maybe they're playing Presbyterian or somebody, and okay, we're going to win that. All 17 of them, I have no idea. Neither do you, neither does anybody. I'm just hoping they're in the playoff race right now. That's where my mind is. That's how I look at it. And you know what I know? I know Tom Brady's mind is looking at it that way too. And I know the coaching staff's mind is looking at it that way too. At least I hope they are. That's how they need to. Because none of this stuff is promised to anybody. And if you had told me to bet, if you had said, hey, for the 2003 season, the Bucks over-under is 7.5 wins and made me bet on that, I literally, and I was 22 at the time, so I had no money, but I would have literally bet everything that I was worth or owned or everything. I would have bet my life. Oh, yeah, they're going to win more than 8 games? Come on, you think they can't go 8-8? I would have bet on that. They went 7-9, okay? So let's not lose sight of that through this whole offseason. With that said, yeah, that Dallas game historically for teams in the Bucks position has been a game they do well in. And it'd be nice to get off to a good start. Bucks were 0-1 both the seasons they won the Super Bowl after losses to the Saints. But anyway, so going up and down the schedule, rest deficit looks good, travel looks good. Let's talk primetime for a minute, because, you know, we love the primetime. And I want to take this opportunity right now. The Bucks play in five of them, which is the maximum this year, to start out. They could even have more. There's flex games and, you know, week 17, and they move some games to Saturday. So they could have more, but the five is the most you could get right now, like with the schedule out. And there are 10 teams that have the max five of primetime games. The Bucks are one of them. So I spent my whole childhood with the Bucks not being even worth barely a look by anybody. Of course, they weren't. I grew up in the 80s and 90s, which the Bucks obviously weren't good during that time. The Bucks did not play on Monday Night Football a single time until I was a freshman in college. I didn't even know what that was like. And we just took those crumbs. They'd occasionally throw us up. You know, the Sunday night game, like I mentioned last week, remember when ESPN and TNT like split, that like the first half of the season was TNT, then it went to ESPN for that Sunday 8 o'clock game. They called it like Sunday Nitro or whatever. And we'd get one of those every once in a while. And even more rarely, it was a home game. And I remember those were like the biggest deal in the world to me. Like 11-year-old me, when the Bucks were playing a Sunday night game at the Sombrero at like 8 o'clock on a Sunday, I thought we were like that. That was as much as like winning the Super Bowl to me back then. So, and you know, this is not a market that they look to put on national TV just to put them on national TV, like places like Dallas or you know, some other franchises like that. So here we are now. We've got the maximum. Everybody in the universe is talking about the Bucks. Everybody in the football universe. You know, we're hot right now. Enjoy this, okay? This will not last forever. And I don't even mean in terms of the Bucks being a good team or not. Of course, that won't last. Nothing lasts forever. It all goes in cycles. But there will come a time again where we get, you know, one Thursday game. Maybe a Sunday or Monday game, but mostly, you know, that's what we've been used to all these years. And everybody loves us right now. Soak it in. Like my son, he's nine. He's really excited because he just likes any excuse to stay up late. And I've already told him when the Bucks are playing a game, he's allowed to be up no matter when the game is. So that's his mind working. But when I was that age, it wasn't a thing, man. Like I didn't know what that was like. And he probably thinks it's like no big deal. Like, oh yeah, five primetime games. And he doesn't know. Like, let me tell you, I don't want the Bucks to not be good. But looking back now on my childhood in the 80s and 90s, I am kind of glad it was the way it was. Not that it wouldn't have been awesome if they had won, you know, or even been in a playoff game, let alone the Super Bowl. But I think it taught me a lot about loyalty. It taught me a lot about loyalty to my hometown, loyalty to teams, loyalty in general, and not being a bandwagoner. Like kids, you know, that are growing up as Bucks fans right now, like my son, I want him to understand, you know, yeah, it's easy to be a Bucks fan. It's easy to go to school with your Bucks shirt on. Kids didn't do that when I was a kid, kids still were like, oh yeah, the Cowboys, you know, the 49ers, like stuff like that. And even kids in Tampa who were born in Tampa would laugh at me and like one of my other friends, Drew, who's right with me, and another buddy, Andrew, like two of them named Drew. Like we were all Bucks fans the whole way through. We never wavered. And some of the other kids thought that was funny. Even though we were in Tampa, all of us were from Tampa, and they were like Cowboys fans or 49ers. And that taught me something, you know, because I never wanted to be like that. I never wanted to be like, oh, yeah, yeah. And as soon as the Bucks got decent, all those kids jumped right on, you know. But I think it formed my character a little bit, and I'm grateful for it. And so, you know, someone like my son now, I want him to understand, you know, yeah, this is great. These are boom times. But it really doesn't matter in the end. There are 32 teams in the league. This one is ours. We're fortunate enough that they're where they are right now. But they could be the Jets. You know, they could be 2-14. And it doesn't matter. We're going to watch every damn game. We're going to wear a Buck shirt to school the Monday after a game, even when they lose. Whether they win, lose, whatever. And if they never sniff the playoffs, it wouldn't matter. I wanted to understand that. Because I understood that at a young age, given how the Bucks were. But here we are with five primetime games. And yes, it's really cool. They've got two Sunday nighters, two Thursday nighters, and of course the one, they only have one Monday night game, which the year they won the Super Bowl after that in 03, they had three Monday night games and a Sunday nighter. So they had four primetime. The five is a Bucks record this year, but only one on Monday night. Of course, Sunday nights become kind of the bigger thing now. And just looking down the schedule, the next primetime game, after they go to, they play Dallas, Atlanta at home, they go out to the Rams. This is where they start a stretch of three road games in 4 weeks, and it's tough. I mean, going to L.A., coming back from L.A. and going back to New England again, and some people, this killed me. There were some people on NFL Network yesterday actually sticking up for the Bucks, and I don't think the schedule's unfair at all. It's actually pretty decent for the Bucks. But they were saying that they can't believe they make the Bucs go to New England in week four, coming off of going to the Rams, a cross-country road trip the week before. And why are you trying to give Bill Belichick all the advantages? Why are you giving us a weakened Tom Brady coming off a cross-country West Coast road trip and making him play that game? That game should be a better setup for the Bucs. And people were actually saying this, and I thought I was in bizarro world. Like, nobody would ever. And they're not. They don't care about the Bucs now either, by the way. They just care about Tom Brady. But no national commentator would ever in a million years give a crap about anything scheduling-wise with the Bucs in a normal, you know, situation. And that, this is unfair. The Bucs have to play at the Rams before they play at the Patriots. And they just, you know, everybody is looking at that one game and making such a big deal out of it already. And the schedule's only been out 24 hours. But the hype surrounding that game is just going to grow and grow and grow over the summer and into the first few weeks of the season. And I don't want it to be something that affects the Bucs negatively. And I trust that they'll be able to handle this. They're professionals. But, you know, you've got three games before that. And that one the week before at L.A. is a tough one. And they're big boys and they travel in style. They'll be okay flying to L.A. and then flying to New England back-to-back weeks. And, of course, now you've probably heard, you know, the math has worked out with Brady, who needs how many passing yards does he need? Something, I can't remember the exact number, but he averages, yeah, here it is. He needs 1,154 yards to pass Drew Brees for the all-time passing yardage. And he averages, or at least last year, he averaged 290 yards a game. So if he is on that average, it would work out that he would pass Brees and set that record in week four in New England. Which, I mean, okay, great. Whatever. That, to me, that's, you know, third or fourth on the list of things I care about for that game. But it's just another thing with all the hype and Gronkowski, too, and it's going to grow and grow and grow. And, you know, it's going to be a fun night. It's just one of 17 games, though. Like, the Bucs, you know, I hope that doesn't become something that, like, becomes bigger than the rest of the schedule, and people are already overhyping that game. Obviously, Tom Brady's never played against New England. It's the only team out of the 32 he's never beaten. He could become one of, I believe, four quarterbacks to have beaten every single team in the league if he is able to win that. If the Bucs are able to win that game, I should say. See, I'm doing it too. We got this whole Brady mentality now. It's still a football team. It's not one guy, and especially with that game, that's how it needs to be looked at. One other cool thing, if you want to call it that, is the Rams game week three will be the 202nd NFL game Tom Brady has ever played. He's played in 199 right now. He has never played a single NFL game in Los Angeles, which, I mean, Los Angeles didn't have a team for much of his NFL career. But there's that. So moving through the schedule, Miami at home, October 10th, that one is significant because of this. For those of you that like to go to the games in person, and we've all sat through many, many, many of those Sunday at 1 o'clock games at Raymond James Stadium, and that one, October 10th, is one of them. But first of all, it's October 10th. The Bucs have no September games at 1 o'clock. And in fact, it's one of only two all season of the eight that are at home that the Bucs play a 1 o'clock home game. Two games! Which is also a Bucs record for the fewest number of times they've played at home on Sunday at 1 p.m. Two times, and the other time is Week 18 against Carolina on January 9th, which could even possibly be flexed. I mean, that's not for certain. We won't know that for months, but just two of the eight. They got three home night games, three home games that start either at 4:05 or 4:25, and those are always a blast, too, especially the ones after daylight savings time where the sun sets kind of right near halftime, and then they've got two Sunday at 1 p.m. I never thought I'd see the day. So I know a lot of people are in. My wife, you know, she's fair-skinned. She never, even if I want to go to a Buck game, I just take the kids. She's not going to go. She hates sitting in the sun. Now she's in play. You know, she's like, yeah, I'll go to a 4 o'clock game after daylight saving. I'll go to a night game. So it's better for a lot of people that don't like the heat. I never minded the Sunday at 1 o'clock games myself, but yeah, I know it's, you know, a little bit different for everybody. So you got that one. The Philly game on Thursday, October 14th, is one of the other primetime games. Then the Bears at home in week 7, a 4:25 game. The Saints, October 31st, Halloween. So imagine this. If you're one of those people that some people pick out a Bucs road game every year to travel to, and obviously if you do, they play in New Orleans every year, and New Orleans is a pretty high priority target for people who like to travel, obviously. You may have done it before. But this is Halloween. This is a 4:25 start, 3:25 local time in the Central Time in New Orleans. Imagine the French Quarter on Halloween night with a Bucks-Saints game letting out around 7 p.m. local. And just that whole weekend in general is going to be just completely nuts up there. If you're thinking about getting on the road, and I don't, you know, we don't know for sure yet. I know they hope to have full stadiums by then. It hasn't been determined. I would like to personally, and I love New Orleans. My wife's family is from Houma, which is not far away, and we go there a bunch. So, I mean, I'm very familiar with New Orleans. One of my favorite cities to visit. And I'm not like even a big alcohol guy. Like, I don't even drink. So it's not even that, but I just love the aura of the French Quarter. I love the feel. And every once in a while, I like it when it's quiet and it's just walking around. But every once in a while, like having it just cut loose and max it out like that, that would be pretty fun. So I you know, if you're into Halloween, and we got, I mean, I don't know about the kids, but that's going to be a scene out there, man. Like that, my kids, especially my son, could learn some stuff if we go to that Bucks Saints game on Halloween. And then we pour out onto Bourbon Street around 7 p.m. local time, and it's on, you know? But that, I mean, that I noticed that as much as I noticed the primetime games. I was like, wait, we play on Halloween in New Orleans, and it's a late afternoon game? That could be something fun. And if you're going to be around here, trick-or-treating will fit in pretty well if you go out at 8 o'clock. Maybe a little later than you're used to going out, but nobody's going to go out during the Bucks game anyway, right? I mean, I think what a good here's what I think a good plan would be if we don't go to New Orleans. Because my neighborhood has millions of people walking up, and there's kids everywhere in my neighborhood. I'm just putting the TV outside like I've told you about before. I do that, setting it up in the driveway. Big table out there, lots of candy, and I'm just going to set up shop. Anybody who wants to come by and just hang out is welcome to. Come by and grab some candy, keep walking. Pull up a chair for a few minutes if you need a break from trick-or-treating. I suggest to any of you who have neighborhoods like that, get a TV set up outside and just put tables out there, and everybody can have a good old time, and people can come and go as they please, and your camp is set up. The kids can go out on their own. Nine's old enough now. He can walk around. He'll be 10 by then. He can just go. I don't care. But I'm not leaving. Maybe at halftime we'll go for a quick 15-minute stroll. Other than that, we're set up on Halloween night in the driveway. That sounds like a lot of fun to me. Then the bye comes after that. They get the Redskins also coming off a bye. The Giants on Monday night will be fun. Two in a row at Indy, at Atlanta. They actually have four road games in 5 weeks, starting with that Halloween Saints game. They do have a bye week, actually, in there, so it's four road games in 6 weeks. But that might be the toughest part of the schedule just from a travel standpoint, besides maybe the three road games in 4 weeks with the Rams, New England, then Miami at home, then at Philly. The Buffalo game December 12th will be fun, and that one is a 4:25 start at Raymond James Stadium, and that should be a great crowd. I hope the stadium's full this year. The Buffalo games are not very common here because they're in the AFC. It's only once every 8 years, but great fan base. And with the hype surrounding that game, that'll be a lot of fun too. Then they go, they get New Orleans back at home. They actually play division games from week 13 through week 18. They play five of their six division games. Then you got at Carolina, at the Jets, and then Carolina week 18 to round it out. Let's go. It sounds good to me, man. And it's really exciting to have all the primetime games, especially three of them at home. And, you know, nothing to complain about, really, if you're a Bucks fan with this schedule. Lots to be excited about. And I'll tell the story real quick, because I promised I'd tell it last week. They only have the one Monday night game, though. It's the Giants game, November 22nd. Like I mentioned before, never had those when I was a kid. So you can imagine my excitement. You know, 1997 was the first time the Bucks broke through and did anything at all. Basically in my life. So 1998, you can imagine my excitement. The schedule came out, and Sapp and Favre kind of had gotten some little rivalry thing going. And they put the Packers at the Bucks on a Monday night in December in the 1998 season. And I was so gassed. Like, this is it. This is finally it. Like, we're going to have Monday Night Football at home. I'd never been to a Monday night game before. I was a freshman in college. I went to USF before I transferred and ended up graduating from the University of Florida. But I did my freshman year at USF because my mom didn't think I'd earned it with my, you know, even though I got in to the other schools, senior year of high school, I was kind of just meh. And so anyway, I went to USF freshman year. Worked out in this case, though. I had a Monday night class in calculus. Teacher was a guy named Greg Budsman, if he's out there. I don't know if he's out there or not. And this class was every Monday at 6 p.m. And the final exam was on Monday at 6 p.m. It was like the first Monday in December. I can't remember the exact date, which just happened to be the night of the Bucks' first Monday night game of my lifetime. Kickoff was at 8:30. Now, figured it would be okay, but you got to think, you know, I don't want to just get there like middle of the first quarter. I want to soak up the Monday night atmosphere. And I'm a freshman. I had like a beat up Pontiac Grand Am. I got to be at USF's campus at 6 p.m., take my final exam. You know, the exams can take a while. It's not like a regular class where you can just duck out if you want to. Take my exam, drive down all the way down 275, get to the stadium, park, all that, get inside. Figured I had enough time. So I show up to the exam. I'm like fully dressed. I got my Bucks like polo shirt on. like I'm fully geared up to go to the Bucks game that night. You know, I'm totally like not even thinking about the exam. And you remember, whether it was high school or college, you know how you can figure out how much, like what exactly you need on the exam for each different letter grade. Like if the teacher tells you before the start of the class, like in the syllabus, they'll say, okay, hey, quizzes are going to be worth 20%. Your midterm exam is going to be worth 20%. Your final exam is going to be worth 25%. Like they showed you the breakdown of what every single thing meant and counted for in your final grade so you could do the math. So I had done the math knowing the final exam was worth X percent or whatever it was. And I had done the math in my head where if I got like a 94 on the exam, I could get an A. If I got like a 74, I could get like a B or whatever it was. Or if I got like a 54 or better, I could get a C. Like, you know, just locked in. I can't remember the exact numbers. But I remember basically the difference between a B and a C being not a number that was like that high. And the A was pretty high, whatever it was. So, no, I don't condone it. Okay, I don't condone it. But I basically went in there and I was like, I went in with the mindset like, okay, I'm going to try and get my A. You know, let's see what happens here. And after about 5 minutes of taking the exam, I was just so amped up for the game. And like, I just couldn't, I was like, you know what? Screw this. I got my B. Let's get the hell out of here. And I think I just clinched my 55 or whatever it was that I needed on the exam. I think I Christmas treed a few of them. Some said, show your work. I just wrote down a number. And I just blew that whole thing off and got the hell out of there. And I hightailed my ass down there and got there in time for kickoff. The blimp, I remember, I will distinctly never forget driving down and seeing the blimp hovering over Tampa. And remember, how many times did the blimp come to Tampa before that? I mean, in 97, I think he was here for the playoff game against the Lions, the last game at the Sombrero, and that was it. So you see that blimp flying around. I need to be where the action is, man. And I couldn't, like 18-year-old me couldn't process it all, couldn't handle it all. I just had to get to Raymond James Stadium, and I did. I met my buddy down there. We went to the game. I still remember the Bucks sacking Brett Favre like 14 times or something like that. Bucks won the game. Of course, they were a big disappointment in 98 after that 97 season. But that one night, man, what a memory. Do not regret the letter grade that I maybe probably gave away in that freshman year calc class of college. It pales in comparison to the memory I have today, 20-something years later, that I still get to tell the story here on this podcast. So that's the kind of energy you get with primetime games that you just don't get otherwise. And the Bucks are able to host three of them this year and a couple more on the road. So it's going to be a fun season. But again, don't get all wrapped up right now in all this talk. Undefeated, 15-2, 14-3. Every game in the NFL is so hard to win. And people forget that. And people forget about last year too. And they just assume, oh, we won the Super Bowl. We can do whatever we want. How close the Bucks came. First of all, they didn't win their division and still have not won their division since 2007, okay? And second of all, even as a wild card and they swept through all those playoff games, one play in almost all the... In fact, the Super Bowl is the only one. Besides that, you could change a play here or there in all three of the other playoff games, and we're not sitting here on five primetime Monday night games or Sunday night games or whatever. We're not sitting here as the defending Super Bowl champions and all that stuff, and we don't know. And you still don't know. So don't take it for granted. You know, nothing is promised, but just have fun with it, mainly. Let's enjoy the fact that we are one of those teams, if not the team, everybody wants to see. And you're going to see the Bucks all over ESPN. You're going to see the Bucks all over NFL Network. You're going to see them all over NBC in primetime. 8 o'clock kickoffs, 4 o'clock kickoffs. let's enjoy it. And let's hope we can do this again when the schedule comes out next year, too, because we're coming off of another one, or at least another really good season, if not a Super Bowl. But either way, man, it's about the journey, and it's not just about the final destination. And that's easy to remember when your journey is really hard and you think, oh my God, we might never make the playoffs. But when you're assuming you're going to make the playoffs or assuming you're going to win the division, you can start to lose sight of that. So don't lose sight of that as we go through all of these things. Oh, and lest I forget, the preseason schedule also came out yesterday. No one was talking about that, but I'll bet you if they had had a separate, here's how football crazed we all are. I'll bet you if they had had a separate preseason schedule release show like on Tuesday and done the schedule release on a separate day, I'll bet you both of those shows would have done big ratings. I would have been all over it, just excited. And plus, I want to see what a 3 preseason game schedule looks like. So here we have it. There is not that last one that's on a Thursday every year. They're all 3 on Saturday. On Saturday nights, the first preseason game will be August 14th on Saturday. That's a game against the Bengals at home at 7:30. The Bucs have the 2 home, 1 road thing this year. I presume that will alternate every year with preseason games, although I have no idea. Preseason game number 2 is exactly a week later, Saturday, August 21st. They play the Titans at 7:30 at Raymond James Stadium. And then the 3rd preseason game is August 28th at Houston at 8 p.m., and then they don't do anything the rest of that week and the next week, and they play Thursday against Dallas after that. So if you're like a season ticket holder, for example, and I don't know how they're going to do this, but this year it doesn't change much. I guess what they'll do, actually, here's what they're going to do. In the years where you have 9 home games, you'll have 1 home preseason game, and in the years where you have 8 home games, you'll have 2 home preseason games. So you'll always have 10 games at home. In certain years, 9 will be regular and 1 will be pre. In other years, 8 will be regular and 2 will be preseason. And so that'll just alternate between AFC and NFC. So this year, all the NFC teams have 2 home preseason games and 8 regular season preseason games. Or 8 regular season home games, I should say. And so I don't know. You know, they charge the same for the season ticket holders. This year, you're paying for that extra one. And I don't know what they're going to do as far as, you know, season ticket price. Like, I always say I like to call them up after they play, like, the second preseason game. So, like, on August 22nd, they'll only have 8 home games left. Maybe I'll call them up then and get my season tickets then. But they might just charge you the same price, even though the 2 preseason games already happened. I have no idea how they're going to do it. But these are just little angles you can take here and there. But August 14th, like, that's the next time the Bucs are going to be on the football field in full uniform, okay? One way or the other, and we only have to endure 3 of those. Although, like I said, man, it's still football. They replaced 1 preseason game with a regular season game, but, I mean, I don't want less football overall. They didn't do that, and I know the preseason gets to a point where people complain about it. We'll see how 3 feels. 4 always felt like too many. 3 may also be too many. I think 2's probably enough, but we'll go through this coming preseason, and maybe 3 will feel just right. And we'll see how coaches and players feel about it, as well as fans. And obviously, y'all know they want 18 regular season games, not 17. So that's what they'll ultimately be gunning for. But that's what we got for now. With all that said, now we got it on paper. Now we got something to stick up there on the fridge and look at all summer if you're into that sort of thing and get ready for. I will be typing up the fridge schedules. And there's a nice one, the Bucks. You know, you can go to Bucks.com and see that one. But I'll be typing them up like I always do. Logos. All the formatting you like, and those of you that have done this the past few years know, all you gotta do is email me, bobbygameday@yahoo.com. It's bobbygameday@yahoo.com. You can email me anytime. I love hearing from you guys. If you want a fridge schedule, let me know. I don't have it yet, but if you email me, I'll put you in a folder there, and I'll make sure you get one before the season starts. But I might do them, usually I do them right before the season starts. I might do them early this year. That way we have that whole summer of looking at it on the fridge, because it is pretty to look at, and it's nice, makes you think about football every time you go to the fridge, and that always makes me happy. So it's up there, it's on paper now, and I'll get it done. If you want to follow me on Twitter, @BobbyGameDay, same thing. That's it for this week's edition. We'll be back next week. A lot of fun coming up. The hockey playoffs are starting, Lightning playing on Sunday. The Rays have their series going. They're going to try to score, you know, more than 1 run in a game here, hopefully coming up. And there's all kinds of other things going on. Beautiful weather. So wherever you're going to do, whatever you have going on, Have fun. Enjoy the weekend. Be safe. I'll talk to you next week. In the meantime, thanks to all of you for listening. Thanks to the Joes for giving me this platform. I appreciate the privilege of being on the single best place for Bucks coverage anywhere. And in the meantime, wherever you are, good morning, good afternoon, good night, and go Bucks.